This is the Talking Pictures podcast presented by the Film and Photography Society at UCLA. Today, we're going to be talking about comfort films, and with me are my lovely companions, who I'll let them introduce first.
Hi, I'm Sam. I'm interested in the animation industry, and a fruit that I hate are plums.
Hi everyone, my name is Zerase. I'm interested in the cinematography and camera side of the entertainment industry. And one fruit I hate is kiwis.
And hello everyone, my name is Anu. I'm interested in the producing aspect of filmmaking, and a fruit I hate are papayas. So now that we have that out of the way, let's talk about comfort films. So before we begin, just a quick explanation of how we're defining comfort films. We're talking about movies that we rewatch frequently, and more importantly, we find emotionally soothing. So the movies we'll be talking about today are Marvel's Endgame, we'll be talking about Spirited Away, and Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 version. We've all watched each other's comfort movies, and we've obviously rewatched our own. And we've taken notes. And so today we'll be talking about why we think these movies are comforting, as well as any thoughts we have about the movie itself. So we'll begin with Sam. What is your movie?
So my comfort film is Spirited Away. I love this film. If I could summarize it in 30 seconds, it's about this girl who just moved to a new town or city, and she transports herself somehow to the spirit world and needs to work with a sorcerer and a dragon and other people in like this bathhouse setting in order to get back home, and it's really good.
Okay.
It's so good. It's such a good movie.
So Zerase has never seen it before. I've seen it a couple times, and I found it emotionally traumatizing the very first time I watched it because of, like, when the parents turned into pigs. That was one of the worst experiences of my life when I was a kid. But Zerase, you want to go first about, like, what you thought about the movie, just because it's your first
honestly,
time?
Honestly, I've watched a couple of Studio Ghibli films before, and I've loved them. Like, the story is always so great. This was, like, a bit on the darker side. Like, not too dark, but, like, on a darker side, I would consider when it comes to, like, the Studio Ghibli films I've watched. But I still loved it because the storytelling aspect is still there, and it's so detailed. I really, like, love, like, the tension, everything, the drama that's happening in the film, and really, like, the sort of, I guess, the imagined, like, not imagined, but the brewing, like, love between Haku and Chichiru, like, that's, I really, like, I would love to see, like, more of it, but it's that underlying, like, theme, it's just so good. I love it so much.
I'm sure there's fan fiction out there. That will soothe your needs.
It's from 2001. I'm not sure.
Oh, there's fanfiction for everything. Going off what you said about like the drama and the love and everything, I feel like I was really thinking about this, about why it is, like, even when I rewatch it, like getting past the pig scene, that I felt it was really comforting and like very soothing just to watch and to listen to. And I was thinking about this, and I think there's, like, a really strong embrace of, like, what children want to see in media. And I feel like Miyazaki, who was, you know, the writer and the director of the film, really understands childhood and what, like, kids want from, I guess, their movies and the media that they watch. And I, like, wrote a whole paragraph trying to figure out, like, why it was so soothing. And I think it's because you have, like, a protagonist of Chihiro who is taken seriously by everyone in her journey, even though she's a very young kid. She's respected by everyone. She's very brave. She's very intelligent. She's very kind and humble. And I guess we get to see her navigate through this very morally ambiguous world where there is no one bad guy. There's just, you know, bad situations people are in. And we see her dealing with very big emotions. And, you know, she isn't belittled for experiencing those emotions. She isn't belittled because she's a kid. So she's kind of, even though she is a kid operating in a kind of new world, she's essentially treated as an adult, which I think is what every kid wants, right? When, you know, they're little, they want to be taken seriously. So I guess it's like a kid's film that respects kids. And when you watch it, you kind of are transported back into childhood and with all the colors. And I guess the story and the setting itself is very idyllic. And you get to kind of relive a kind of perfect childhood where you are respected and taken seriously. And you get to experience these big emotions all over again. But I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up watching this film a lot. And I think there's like this kind of thing Haku and Chihiro have going on, like, this, like, small romance. And it's, I think it kind of, like, resembles, like, childhood romance. But there are so many, like, good themes or, like, amazing themes in Spirited Away. And I think a point that I wrote down or I made was that, like, with Studio Ghibli films, or especially Spirited Away, each time you watch it, there are different things that you can catch, and it's totally up to you, it's totally up to whoever's watching it. I cried because I was so happy in one of, like, the last scenes, and I just didn't want it to end. And for me, I feel like that's, like, a good sign of a really good film. And, like, a comfort film.
Yeah, especially, like, the fantastical aspect. I feel like as children, we love, yes, the idea. Yeah. We love, mm-hmm, the idea of exploring, and we're so curious as children. And even when we grow up, like, now, like, I'm still into all of that. I love to explore, love to travel. And Spirited Away provides, like, a unique world. They bring back the nostalgia of childhood, and it just makes you happy, like, you don't even need to, like, dig deep in. Just watching it on surface level will make you so happy because of how, like, unique the film is.
I agree. Like, just looking at the background paintings and, like, all the small details of, like, the costumes and, like, the vase designs. Like, it was so satisfying. And can we talk about the bathhouse? Like, I want to go there so bad. So it looks so good.
I want to go.
It's kind of more fun when you have everyone else that's also, there's a whole fandom around it, and you all get to talk about, like, theories and why, and, like, have conversation like this about why you love movies. And, you know, like, an imagined world is more fun when you have more people in it. So I think there's definitely an aspect of it being, like, a cult favorite, and, you know, Ghibli movies are so, they invoke such strong emotions, and, you know, being able to share that with more people really does make the movie that much more comforting.
Especially with the ending being so open-ended, not, like, clear-cut and set in stone.
And I also, like, I think I also have, like, a really personal connection. Not only because, like, I was born 2 months after this film releases, so by default, my parents had the VHS of this, and, like, whenever I was being annoying, they would just play this, and I would, like, shut up. But, like, I saw a lot of connections between, like, the characters in the film and people in my real life. Like, Lynn is a character that reminded me a lot of my sister, just because she's very, like, tough, but there's also, like, that sisterly love that I experienced throughout my childhood. So whenever I watched the film, I would always see my sister and Lynn, and I think that's that's really heartwarming to say, but I don't mean to sound, like, really like, I don't know, soft, but I and the guy who was running when I saw Kamaji, it reminded me a lot of my grandpa, actually, because, again, he's very strict, trying to teach me the ways, and then, like, but there's also that, like, not parental, but that, like, elderly love that you get, and, like, that protection you get, even it, and it's, like, they have that sense of wisdom to them where they always want to help you, and they always seem to know what's, like, the best way to go or the right thing to do. And I mean, those two examples are just, like, the beginning of what, of, like, how much this film, like, framed me, crafted who I was as a person, who I was, like, growing up. And how much that means to me. And that's why it's kind of like my comfort film, because I can always go back to it and be brought back to my childhood where I feel like comfort. I guess to like tie it off together, if you haven't watched Spirited Away, you have to. Not because it's like, I don't want to like tell you that it's like it's an amazing film that you're going to love, but just watch it for the unique narrative, the beautiful, like the most beautiful like backgrounds and scenery you'll ever get from an animated movie. The iconic soundtrack that most people can like spot on the first note, and like the pop culture references, it's everywhere. And you just need to watch this film because of how amazing it is. Like, I can't tell you how much it means to me, and it probably means to a lot of other people, because of how it brings back so much, like, it brings back the feeling of nostalgia that you can't ever get rid of, but it's not bad. And, like, as much as it crafted in my childhood, it's crafted a lot of other people's childhood, and it means so much to me, and it's so beautiful. Then the types of narratives that Miyazaki and just the whole Studio Ghibli like company produces tell such unique narratives that are like both equally childish and mature and serious. Because it tells a narrative through the lens of a child protagonist, as they go through very like human and adult feelings, or feelings that they go through while they're growing up, and they're very like real, and it's just really comforting.
Zeraes, it's all you. So we're moving on to Endgame, which is Zeraes' comfort film. Zeraes, you want to give us a 30-second summary?
Wow, a 30-second summary for Endgame. That's a bit challenging. There's so many, like, moving aspects.
It's a three-hour movie.
Yeah. So many moving aspects of Endgame. But basically, I guess a one-line summary would be the Avengers are teaming up to save the world from Thanos by sort of traveling back in time. It's very strange that this is my comfort film, but honestly, I think what really drew me to this film was the very first like live action film that I watched with my family, like aside from animated films, was the first Marvel Avengers movie that released, I think back in 2012. I believe that was like the first live action film I like watched with my family, and it was at that time I was kind of like scared, and I didn't want to watch a Marvel film because I was like, oh, someone's gonna die, it's gonna be bloody, like I don't want to be put through that like heartbreak and sadness, because I'm like very sensitive to that stuff, especially when it comes into movies. But I ended up loving it, and I've been like keeping up with the story and the plots since then.
That's so weird to hear that, like, I mean, when you first told me that it was Endgame, I was like, what? Because for me, I've always experienced Marvel as like a kind of a passive watch. My brother's the real like comic book fan, and he's the one who keeps up with the comics and the movies and the TV shows and everything. But like rewatching Endgame, and like you see them literally confront their past selves, and they literally go back in time to, you know, meet their 2012 self, to talk to their father, to, I don't know, they just literally get to see where they've come from, and like you get to see how the characters have developed across, like, I don't know, 15 years, and how they're all so different. And I guess it was kind of cathartic to see how it all came together, and you get to see these characters become fully realized versions of themselves and complete their like hero's journey arc. And I guess it kind of made watching the film since I was 7 years old worth it, just to be like, oh my god, yes, I remember when Tony was so selfish and he like sold, you know, he was a war criminal, da 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 da, and now he's like a good dad, and you know, he's like Tony Stark, and da da da. Like, it was very, it felt comforting to watch like these characters and see them really truly grow.
Yeah, and especially if you've been watching the Marvel films for like the past 10 years.
Don't say that, I feel so old.
Growing up, watching these films, and then like Endgame is like the huge, like epic finale. Then I would consider this like satisfying because Zuri's, you said that the world building was like insane. For some people, for some of the characters, it kind of like ties up their whole being, their whole character, their whole arc, and for some people that's satisfying. And I think it was personally, as someone who doesn't really watch Marvel films, like if you asked me what the plot was for each Avenger movie, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But that's just me. But I think it was very satisfying seeing how everything ended and see how everyone came together, especially at the very end when,
Yeah.
yeah, in the very end when all of the Avengers or all of like the characters
Spoiler.
came together. It was such an epic moment. It was like, I hate saying the word epic, but it was like an amazing moment, and especially being in the theater while watching it.
I think with Endgame, I went to watch it opening weekend, and everyone in the theater like,
Oh my
I
God.
like I am such a big Marvel fan, like superhero fan in general. But I went to go watch it opening weekend, and everyone was cheering when Captain America picked up Thor's hammer. People were clapping. I was like, hell yeah. It was just so like in I was so invested in what like the world that Marvel has created and the characters that it felt like such a big moment for me too. Like not just like on screen, it was like such a big moment for me. That is why I go to Endgame for my like comfort film, and that's really what draws me into the universe and like to Endgame, because it's just like that could exist, like there could be like whole worlds out there, like I believe that. Another thing that I really love about Endgame is I can be like super excited, really happy. I can cry in the movie too, and I can get a rush of adrenaline as well. Like I can feel all those emotions with that 3-hour movie, and I really like that. It's like a safe space because I know I can feel those emotions and I won't be like overly like hurt by something out of the blue. Like I kind of know what to expect and like what is coming. Like the details have been like building up to it, so like I'll know, like I won't be too shocked. Even with like when Tony Stark died, I cried so much, but it was kind of like also like I expected like someone major to like, you know, end up saving the whole team.
Yeah, going off what you said about like how you can experience these full range of emotions and like while you do get to feel sad, it's not like a hurt sad. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of like, again, I mentioned this earlier, but these characters come full circle. So even when you have Tony's death, it's not like a bad death where he dies needlessly. It's literally him fulfilling his character arc. And so even though he dies, you still, I guess, feel good about it in the sense that, you know, you've seen him become a fully realized person and he becomes a mentor to Spider-Man, how he becomes a good husband to Pepper and a good father to Morgan, and he becomes a great team leader and everyone remembers him and he's idolized throughout the world. And so it doesn't feel bad when you see him go. And I found that, like, the main theme of the movie was about moving on, acceptance, right? Because that's something that Steve says a lot, like, we have to move on, we have to move on. But a lot of these characters cannot move on, right? Steve cannot move on from the like his past love of Peggy, and Natasha cannot move on from her failures of not being able to save everyone. Same with a lot of people on the team. And so I guess in their avoidance of acceptance, they end up going through this whole journey where still at the end they are able to move on. They're able to accept the people that they have become, and they're able to confront their failures from the past, and they're able to become fully realized people. So, you know, I guess the whole movie is like a circumvention of, you know, acceptance and moving on, but the characters at the very end are still able to move on.
Yeah, I think that's just what I love about Endgame. you can watch all the funny scenes, all the fight scenes again, because I'll never tire of them, because they'll always like get my blood pumping, because they're always exciting. I never like lose that excitement factor I feel when I watch the movie. I'll always cry when it comes to like Tony's scene. I'll like always shed a tear when it comes to like Black Widow scene. Like I'll always feel those emotions. So I think that's what makes it a great comfort film for me, because I'll always feel those emotions. I'll always like love the scenes. And again, it's like not for everyone, but definitely like that's what draws me in.
Okay, so I guess just to wrap up, if someone hasn't seen Endgame, which I don't know how that's possible, why should they watch it?
Watch it for the intense battles, for the Avengers finally assembling, and for all the fandom theories that come with it. Like, those are super, super interesting to get into.
And the final movie, which is my comfort film, is Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 version. I'm very specific about that. Directed by Joe Wright. So I guess a 30-second summary. Obviously, it is a retelling of Pride and Prejudice, which is the blueprint of Enemies to Lovers. You know, we feature a whole cast of, you know, quirky, as much as they don't like to use that word, quirky and funny, very realistic characters as they kind of go through, I guess, trying to find love and how difficult it is. And there's a lot of discussion of like class politics and social mobility and, you know, trying to be a good person for someone you love. And it is my ultimate comfort movie. I've been rewatching it since I was 13. I'm just obsessed with the movie in every aspect. I guess it's my comfort movie because, again, who doesn't love? There's just something about, you know, watching this movie, like, you want to be in love and you want to find that person. And like, visually, it's so pleasing. The color palette is like, you want to jump into the movie and live in it with all these characters. The set design, the characters are so, like, they just breathe off the screen and they just feel so real. The music is just like, wow, ultimate cottage core. It is amazing. It's everything you want. I love it. It's so good. And I just recommend this movie to literally everyone I meet. If they haven't seen it, I force them to watch it. It's just, it just makes me feel so good when watching it. But I'm so excited to hear your guys' thoughts.
It's so pretty, because I also subscribe to Dark Academia and Cottagecore, so this movie was right up my alley, because I've seen this movie before. I don't want to say I grew up watching it, but my older sister, like 7 years older than me, was obsessed with Pride and Prejudice. And
as she should.
Yeah, as she should. It was insane. Like, she read like web comics about Pride and Prejudice. It was really fun, and I needed to like absorb the energy that she got from Pride and Prejudice, and like it, yeah, whatever, it latched onto me. And the music, the color grading of the film, the atmosphere, it's just all so pretty. And like Elizabeth just like walking through the grass, and like her, like the area around her house, it's so amazing. I just like want to be in it. And I mean, that applies to almost all period pieces, but I wanted to be in like the set of this film because it's so pretty. And it just, like, we always talk about warm hugs when we talk about comfort films, and I said Spirited Away gave me a warm hug, but this was like, this is a full embrace. Like,
yeah.
It is so, it's just like, it makes, it's so cute. And like Anu said, you just love. And this is another film that like messed up my perception of romance and love.
Exactly. But
it's so good. It's so good anyways.
Yeah, definitely. It's I love love, but I've never really watched a lot of rom-coms, or just like I don't know, romantic movies. But so this was definitely yes, one of the first ones like I've watched actually, which is shocking. As you can see, I like tend to stick to like one genre of movie. But I had never watched, read Pride and Prejudice, or watched the Pride and Prejudice movie, so this was my first time watching. I loved it. I really like, I don't know, I didn't really expect to be that drawn into like a period film, but I did. And I think a lot of it had to do with the setting itself, because I know like that's how I imagine, like from watching the movie, it really brings like dreams that I've like kept to myself, like, oh, I want to go live on like a farm now, like I want to go live in a cottage now. Like it really like brings those emotions like to the front again, like those dreams. But also just the way that some of the characters like make you feel like it's like, okay, I really want to slap you now, or like, how could you be so stupid? How can't you see this? It's like those like moments that really made me like love the film and like stay like invested in the film. It was definitely like more I guess
That
angsty than I
warms
go
my heart
for.
so much. And I understand what you're saying about like
But
it's so definitely
definitely
I think
it
that's
was
like
definitely
people
more
have
angsty
like
than I go for and
there's like
like
a
kind of what I
debate
try to
between
like
whether or not the
avoid. But like
1995
all in all,
adaptation is
like
better than the 2005 adaptation. And I guess a lot of people kind of talk about the angst of the 2005 version of it's like it's so melodramatic and there's like it's so weird, it's like too emotional, et cetera, et cetera. And I understand like period pieces are not for everyone. I know a lot of people who hate them and like on principle don't watch them, which is like, you know what, that's fine. I have my own preferences when it comes to movies. But I think with this movie, why I like it more than 1995 version and why I enjoy the angst is that I feel like it serves the story better. Like it does justice to the story of Pride and Prejudice, which in itself it's a very funny book. It's a very melodramatic book. I mean, you're talking a lot about like class politics and social mobility and like, you know, kind of improper love, love that like crosses the boundaries. And I think the story does well with a very moody and angsty story. And I just feel like Joe Wright, who's the director of the 2005 version, really understood the all the emotions behind the story and did it justice with, you know, the color grading and all, like the hand scene where, you know,
The
Mr.
hand,
Dar eat the ha the hand
my
scene, or Mr.
whole,
Darcy
I wrote
gives
that
Elizabeth,
down.
I know, and Mr. Darcy helps Elizabeth into the carriage, and he stretches his hand afterwards, like,
My
oh,
whole
wow.
heart, so good. Okay.
No, but like it does it the story so much service.
Like, with like angst, slow burn. I mean, I think Pride and Prejudice has it all. Like, it has the childish nature that you get from like kids, and they're like they're love obsessed, like love sick, and like they're obsessed with getting married because it was like a class thing. It was a thing of the past of like. You need to get married if you want to be successful in life. But, and then like the romance, the slow burn, the angst, the fluff or whatever. I think it just makes the whole thing between, the whole relationship between Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth so much more satisfying, just because it's like they keep on dodging each other. Girl, the rain scene. The rain scene?
When he proposes to her, oh my
No!
God.
I was upset. I was equally in love with it because I love the atmosphere of it. I loved everything about it. And then she, and like, you can, if you look me straight in the eye and tell me that there wasn't a thing between them at that scene, I would rightfully tell you that you're wrong. But like,
No, because
go
he was
ahead.
leaning in and she was leaning in and he was looking at her lips and she was looking at
The
his lips.
angst,
Like,
and
hello.
those are like the scenes that make you want to like slap the characters. Just like, it's like, just get on
Exactly.
with it. Like, I know it's
Like,
there.
they love each other.
That's why I love this movie, because it's kind of like, I guess, fantastical in its portrayal of love, but it's like, it's realistic enough where you can be like, okay, me and who? Who's gonna be that person for me? Like, cause I can see myself in this movie, so me and who, you know?
I know, I'm just like, oh my god. It's like, again, this movie, like, made me romanticize every little aspect of my life.
I think that's one thing about this movie. It kind of makes you wish that you didn't have to deal with anything else in your life and your sole, like, purpose, or, like, you know, you could just take, like, a week or two off and, like, live the life that of the character in the movie, of Elizabeth, and just enjoy that. And what's funny about me watching this movie just recently is, like, my brother had read the book, and he was writing an essay that I helped edit about, like, the whole, like, social class mobility, especially for women, like, why, what about them, like, what was being portrayed in the book about women and their social class, and especially, like, their relationships, the importance of that. So I think having edited that essay and then watching this movie, I really paid more attention to those aspects of how their mother, like, pushed for, like, their need to get married, and how she cried over, like, their, I guess, when they messed up the certain presentation they were supposed to put on. But I guess overall, I kind of wanted to, like, just escape from my life, like, just for a little bit, not completely. Because I wouldn't say my life is terrible right now, but just for like 2 weeks, kind of just experience what that world is like, and kind of like, you know, experience like that, like, love story as well, which would have been exciting, you know, exciting to live through, you know, something I would want to do like once in my lifetime. But yeah, that's what makes the film so great.
I agree. For, like, just the comforting aspect, aside from the visuals, it's just, you want to be them. I guess that's why I just come mm-hmm. back to this movie over and over again. Because you know everything's going to work out. You know they're going to be in love. You know they're going to be happy. You know they're going to be safe. Like, I guess it's just, like, the, you know, that's just the theme we keep coming back to in this conversation, about, like, how we feel safe with these movies. How we know what's going to happen, that the emotions... Mm-hmm. being explored in this movie are very comforting and very real emotions, and there's no surprises or anything like that. And I guess you feel good at the end of watching the movie because everything works out, everything is fine. I mean, like, I can go on about this movie for like years and years. I love this movie so much. But I guess just to wrap it up, if you haven't seen Pride and Prejudice, I believe you should, because not only is it cinematic perfection, it's just a really lovely story about family at the end of the day, very lovable and very realistic characters, beautiful sets, and just a story you want to come back to every single day from the day you turn 13, because it is such a lovely movie, and I highly recommend. If you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor and watch it. So I guess that concludes our conversation of comfort films. This was a very fun episode. I'm so glad I got to talk to you guys.
I loved talking about all the movies that we love to watch.
I know. Give me a reason to talk about Spirited Away and I'll do it. It's so
I hope everyone listening enjoyed our conversation. We had a lot of fun. And I guess we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
This episode was hosted by Anuradha Srikanth, Zarayz Irshad, and Sam Umbai. Produced by Zarayz Irshad and Anuradha Srikanth. Edited by Julia Alanis, and executive produced by Rohan Bansal. Thank you for listening.